Before I read the scripture, just a little story I had this morning at the other church, how we have to be careful how we act. A pastor was called into another church to do some services, and the day the service started, he took the bus to go down to a shopping mall, and he gave the money, and the bus driver came back to change, and he went and sat down. He looked at his change and found he had a quarter too much, and he was arguing with himself, said, "It's only a quarter. No, no, I should turn in." He argued with it. Finally went up to the driver and said, did you realize you gave me too much change? The driver said, "I know, I did that deliberately." He said, "I'd want to see if you're a man of your word. And you're the one preaching? Yeah, I'll be there tonight." And he got off the bus and he was trying to say, "Just to think, I almost sold my Lord for a quarter." So we have to be very careful how we treat other people. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." This is God's word. A group was doing a tour through an old water-driven grist mill. And it wasn't working at the time. It wasn't when they were in there. And he's telling them, this is how the grain came in, this is, and all the different parts. And one of the ladies said, "But where's the power?" She said, "See that leader? Or there, go and push on it." She went over and pushed on it, diverted the water to the wheel, and it began to turn. And just slowly at first, and gradually it picked up speed. The mighty power of the river was then put to work. The power of God moves upon us at the touch of faith, just like the power of that river. A line of railway cars stretched up. They're all loaded, ready for their destination. The engine's there with a lot of power to pull it. And the time comes, the engineer looks, it's time to pull out, he pushes the throttle, the engine takes off, and the cars don't move. Why? They weren't hooked up. They weren't coupled to the train. They must be coupled to move as a unit. The coupling pin does not move the cars, but the cars won't move without it. And so it is with our faith in Christ. It's not faith that saves us. Jesus saves. But faith is the connecting link. It's that coupling pin. Question, what is faith? Is it just belief? Is it belief in Jesus? Belief that Jesus exists? I would say no. James 2:19, "You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder in fear." Faith is more than belief, but belief is included in it. It's more than intellectual assent to some proposition or so. It includes trust and confidence in our triune God, putting our lives into his hands. Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Now, I've had people say, "Seeing is believing." And I said, no. You can see the wrong thing or interpret it wrongly. Believing is seeing when it comes to the spiritual realm. We have to put our trust and faith in God to truly see what he's doing in the world and to understand it. It includes our personal commitment to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Only then does the commitment of faith that the power of Jesus brings can be released into our lives. Only then is that connecting pin firmly in place. By grace we have been saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to work in. And actually, when it says workmanship, that is the word from which you get our English word poem. So there's something lyrical and uplifting about it. Faith doesn't save us, nor does our deeds, but faith has a great value for us. And apart from faith, we're not going to see God moving in the world. Apart from faith, we are dead in our sins and our transgressions, and faith protects us. It is faith, that unremitting trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, that empowers us to face life's daily problems and give us the ability to cope. Faith acts for us like a shield. In this battle in life, we have a positional victory. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and following. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do God's people say? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. And 1 John 5:5. Who is this who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have a positional victory. We are overcomers. We are triumphant, victorious, invincible, super conquerors in Christ. In fact, in the Romans passage that said we are more than overcomers, it actually means we are super conquerors. Do you feel like a super conqueror? I have to admit that at times I don't. But I have to go with what the Scripture says and come back to that truth. That's our positional victory in Christ. But we have to fight the everyday battles here on earth. The practical victory. We have to keep on the full armor for that. We can win and we can take back what the devil has stolen from us. We can walk in victory over him. We have put on the belt of truth. That's the truth of the Scripture, but also the practical outworking. The breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ, but our practical outworking of it. Keep on the shoes of the willingness of the gospel of peace. Be ready and willing wherever God calls to go forth, to stand or move forward as Jesus tells. And then there is the shield of faith. Roman soldiers had two types of shields. One was a small round shield. When they're using their swords in hand-to-hand combat, they used that particular shield. But that's not the one mentioned here. The one mentioned here would be about 2 feet by 4 feet. Large shield. It was made of wood, covered with leather, metal. They could parry the oncoming blows. It was convex shaped, and they kept it well oiled, so that when arrows or slings would come, they could be slide off, darts and that. If a fiery dart or an arrow stuck in the shield, contrary to what people think, the oil would make it burn, it put the fire out. The shields were designed for full protection, and for the height of them, it probably protected them from here down to their feet when they're going into battle. When they'd advance against an enemy, they would lock their shields together, and they'd walk forward with those shields held. Can you imagine having facing an army with just this whole row of shields coming at you? If they're coming at the fortress, they would raise the shields up like this to protect people behind them. So it was a very solid wall. It offered protection. But you notice it also protected the belt and the breastplate as well. So it's protecting the protection. Isn't that great what God does for us? It was a movable piece of armor. The rest were somewhat static because when you buckled the belt on, it stayed there. When you put the breastplate on, it stayed there. And the shoes were attached to your feet. They moved with you, but they did move. But the shields, they could move like this. Using the NIV, but a slightly older version than this one, verses 14 and 15 read, "Stand firm then, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." The word "having" there indicates something that is permanent. We need these things. We wear them as our long-range preparation for the battle. In a lull in the battle, the soldier might rest, but he does not take off his armor. He might put his shield on, but have it very quickly, so he can quickly grab it up and get back into the battle. And when the battle's raging, we need all the encouragement we can get and the protection. When the battle gets furious and fiery darts and arrows are flying, we need that shield of faith. Verse 16, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Who is the one who fires these darts and these arrows? The evil one, Satan, the devil. The evil one, the word is poneros, which means bad one, vile one, wretched. Now, Satan is the mastermind, we have to understand. He uses all his demonic forces to attack us. And I think most of us seldom ever have a firsthand encounter with the devil, because he is not omnipotent. He's not everywhere. Only God is. But we have to face those demons who take their orders from Satan. The evil one reminds us that Satan is a real person, a real being, not just a comic figure in red tights. That's what he'd like us to think. Arrows or fiery darts would be an arrow tipped with something like tow, like flax, and then fired from a bow. It would burn very slowly with a very intense heat. When it landed, the pitch could splatter and start some other fires. If it landed in your flesh, you could pull the arrow out. And that's what happens when Satan tries to get us. The shield, though, gave ample protection, just like our faith does. The arrows could glance off. They might lodge in it. But those that fell would get trampled underfoot. The army advanced. The rows of shields linked together. We need to link our shields of faith together. It's not just me standing against the whole army out there. I link my shield of faith with each and every one of yours, and we can stand much firmer against what the enemy is trying to do to us. We can't leave gaps in between the shields, because the enemy will try to take advantage of that as well. Satan is in unceasing warfare with God. He knows truly the value of his fiery darts, and he's very skilled. What are they? Such things as seducing temptations. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a sexual thing. It can be something else. Shafts of impurity, the thoughts, selfishness, greed, doubt, despair, disappointment, lust, vanity, alibis, temper and anger, self, and so on. It includes covetousness too. I have mentioned before Charles Spurgeon, his office and confess their sins. In his whole ministry, he said there's one sin he never heard anybody ever confess to being guilty of, and that was coveting. There's something in there. They're all planned to destroy and to harm us, to burn. In this world, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, the devil. And Satan will use the world and flesh against us: the lust of the heart, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we never know which one he's going to fire at us. It can be any time, anywhere. And he's shrewd at knowing just which time. And he'll bombard us with flaming arrows to elicit ungodly and evil responses. And our only defense is that shield of faith. I read one report after a battle, and this is a Roman soldier, not just arrows, but little dirt and 10 stuck in his shield at the end of the battle. So Satan can sometimes throw them fast. God has given us the shield for our protection, and we need to take action behind it. We don't have to apologize for hiding ourselves in Christ Jesus on him. In fact, that's wisdom. That's utter foolishness on our part to try to go into battle without that shield of faith. This story goes back and helps us. Young Alexander was trying to save money to buy a baseball bat. He worked hard at it. And sometimes he slept and didn't save as much. One night as his mother passed his bedroom door, she heard him praying. He said, "Oh Lord, please help me save my money to buy my baseball bat. And God, please don't let the ice cream man come down. This truck's used to come down." He was wise in knowing where temptation lay for him. And he's asking God to help him. And as the "But deliver us from the evil one." We seek to avoid even the appearance of evil, don't we? That's part of our faith. As we put on faith, we can turn aside those fiery darts, TV programs. A lot of the commercials aren't even fit to be viewed that are on TV. The books we read, conversations, going places that don't honor God. Anything that will mitigate against our godly lifestyle, our godly morals. And with the highest of morals, we can keep the shield of faith in place and do nothing to compromise with the devil. Sin has a great alluring power, and it burns with intense heat. And I know sometimes when I've been tempted to do something and just how strong that can get. And I have at times been almost ready to go out and buy something I've really wanted. And I'll just stop myself and say, "No, I'm going to bed. And Lord, if this is from you, let it be there in the morning. If it's not from you, let it be gone." And you know what happens most of the time? It's gone. Only once in a while has it been there in the morning. That's what our faith is about. It's a gift from God. We can take the gift and we put it into practice, knowing the Lord through His holy word. We practice what it says with a heartfelt obedience. So let our faith rise up and put fears to death on the cross, committing our way to Jesus in radical and unquestioned obedience. We have an act of faith that overcomes. From 1 John 5, the first five verses, "Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by obeying God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We can learn a lesson here from the hawk. Naturalist John Burroughs claims that when a hawk is being attacked by crows or kingbirds, it doesn't counterattack, but soars higher and higher and higher in ever-widening circles until the tormentors leave. When Satan attacks us with his fiery darts, we don't need to counterattack, but turn our eyes upon Jesus and soar with him. The shield of faith is a consistent application of what we know about God, to trust in Jesus. And if we don't truly trust in Jesus, we don't truly know him, because he inspires that trust. We're to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our paths straight. To love him with all our heart, with our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Putting full faith in, when the arrows fly, put up that shield of faith and just keep looking to Jesus. Don't try to look, just keep your shield in place and look to Jesus, and he will direct. We do sin, but we don't need to sin. We should keep the shield of faith in place to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. We have an absolute firm trust and belief in Jesus that we can stand firm. God is faithful. God has said, "I am the Lord your God, I do not change." Jesus Christ is what? The same today, yesterday, and forever. And we can stand no matter what it is. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about not being tempted beyond what we can bear. All the temptations are like everyone else, and he'll provide the way out. But sometimes when I'm tempted, I want to say, "God, why do you trust me so much?" When the fiery arrows come, we have to remember Satan doesn't appeal to our logic. He appeals to our appetites, our feelings and our emotions. That's why we need that shield of faith, to keep it in place, our faith and trust. We test our feelings by the holy word of God. We don't judge God's word by our feelings. We let God be the judge. The truth is, God abides. That's the touchstone. Feelings can be wrong. And one other thing I read of one man, he said, in the morning, I never feel saved until I've had my second cup of coffee. He is saved whether he feels it or not. Much more could be said about faith, our shield of faith. Used wisely, with forethought, and then we can stand firm as we need to. Faith is vital to us. Without it, we're lost and defenseless. Our faith does not rest in creed, dogma, rituals, ourselves, or our deeds, but in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's active, not passive. We show our faith by our deeds. And the closer we walk with God, the more we'll show our faith. But as we do, that shield of faith will protect us. It'll keep us safe and help us arrive at our eternal destination. So let's always walk by faith and use our shield and live by faith alone in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.